This is DreamWords. Tom Corvin by Paul Story. Chapter 33. Lochranza, small, beautiful, sitting quietly at the top of the island. To Tom's right, in the east and hidden by a small grassy mountain, the sleepy sea held Cregan's coast and Ayrshire's apart. Directly in front, as he descended a small track, water spilled inland to a tiny loch marking Arran's northeast corner. The main part of the village lay to its left, a straggle of houses strung out on the far side of the road as it bordered the loch. Stumbling on an isolated house, the boy wasted precious minutes battering on the door. He yelled through the letterbox and eyed the telephone sitting on a three-legged table with frustration. He briefly considered breaking in, but only minutes from Lochranza proper, he reluctantly ran on. When at last his feet slapped on tarmac, Tom paused and bent double, his hands flat on his thighs, breathing hard. The road ran left to the village and straight on to skip the right of the loch to a dead end. A quiet line of houses overlooked the tranquil water. In another time, Tom might have found the setting idyllic. There was nothing familiar about the place. The tiny hamlet was close, but the line of houses ahead closer. He straightened up, drew a breath, and as he steeled himself to run again, a noisy, clattering beat hacked the quiet dawn behind him to shreds. He whirled in fright to face the intruder. A helicopter, yellow, swept fast and low through the glen. It roared to his left. The words, Royal Air Force Rescue, stenciled on its hide, its nose tilted forward as though sniffing the earth. Kneeling at a large square opening, a crewman studied the ground as the machine flared up close to the near edge of the village. The engine thundered, grass and trees shook, and the Sea King paused before settling slowly onto a clearing by the road. Beyond the chopper, a small castle, a quiet icon of Scottish heritage, overlooked the busy scene. Two machines built for war doing time and community service. As the winchman talked the pilot down, Tom noticed a number of vehicles clustered nearby. Land Rovers and cars, and people too. Men and women with rucksacks, police in uniform. Tom changed his mind, turned left and skirted the top of the loch. At the main road, he turned right and ran towards the gathering. No one paid attention to the boy entering the arena. The chopper blades had stopped, drooped, tired and silent. Two crew members poked around a hanging panel, and the other, the pilot Tom assumed, dressed in a one-piece olive-green uniform with cloth wings on his chest, talked to a policeman. A group of rescuers, radio aerials protruding from heavy rucksacks, hunched around the bonnet of a Land Rover inspecting a map spread on its blue-grey surface. Beside them, a magnetic whiteboard stood against the windscreen of another vehicle. Two photographs topped a list of radio call signs and names. They stopped Tom dead. Minutes before, when he'd first seen what was obviously a rescue operation, the boy had silently thanked his luck. Stumbling so quickly on the people sent to find Catriann and their father was more than he could have hoped for. The chopper could be at Cregan in 10 minutes and the hospital soon after. But now he looked at the images in confusion. He stared and stared at them. Two pictures. Two people. And although neither were what he expected, he knew them both. They had been scanned from originals, computer enhanced to remove scratches. Isolate each subject. Despite their apparent ancient origins, the figures were instantly recognisable. He stood, wide-eyed, beside the men briefing over the Land Rover's bonnet. The pictures had been old, very old, but the likeness was remarkable, even in sepia tones. A faded yellow wash jaundiced the skin, and severe stares indicated that the models had sat long enough, thank you. He moved closer, bumping lightly against a man listening to the huddled brief. The leader addressed his men with short, crisp sentences. "They're likely to be confused." They've been in care most of their lives. They might even resist your help. The voice trailed away, and the rescuer he'd bumped against glanced casually over his shoulder at Tom. Tom floated onwards until he stood by the second vehicle. He reached over and took the photographs from the board, one in each hand. As he stared at the photo of himself, the man he'd brushed against took a glance at his own copy cupped in the palm of his hand. He looked from it to the boy and back again. He spoke softly, interrupting the team leader's talk.
"Donald, I think we need another plan."
"What?"
came the indignant reply. But an instant later, all eyes were on the boy standing no more than 10 feet from the collective and confused centre. Tom was unaware of the attention building around him. He was preoccupied by the second image. There she was, in glorious sepia, her red hair hidden by low-tech photography. The girl in his vision. The girl in a moment of madness he thought might have been his sister from another time. Tessa. DreamWorks.com.